Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. It's another day in the Care to Read Room. We like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. And Omi was so excited yesterday, she was thinking that that was her last day. But I won't go on sabbatical until Friday, ladies and gentlemen. So we like to welcome you back, new visitors, and we like to say hello. And to my old friends, we say greetings. Have a sit down. And come on in and join us as we talk about helping babies from the bench. That's right. We're talking about attachment and the emotional needs of the infant and toddler today. And I'd like to send a ploy out. Are there any lawyers out there that know about the special needs about infants and toddlers? If you're out there, why don't you call in? That phone line is open now for you to call in at 646-478-0270. You can call now, and if you're an attorney and your background is family law, your concentrated area, and you have been working in the courtroom with babies, you can call in and give us your input about the backlog and the need of having more professionals that work with maltreated infants. We have been calling on all professionals to get involved with this effort. Because our court systems are backlogged and overloaded, we need occupational therapists, physical therapists, we need early interventionists, we need behavior therapists, we need people that are nurses, that have background in knowing what infants need, that come to this earth at a low birth rate. We want to be able to advise the judge and give them some input so we can best serve the child so that the infant doesn't recycle back into the system a second time. If we do it right the first time, people, we won't have to see our infants go back through the system again. It's bad enough that they end up in the foster system on top of that, and they've been badly maltreated. Now, the court system can also maltreat an infant if they don't know what's best practices, and that's what we're doing here today. We've been making it available to the judge so he can hear from professionals about what are best practices for infant and toddler. They're not the same as other age groups. They are different. And we planned on telling you about how different they are, about their attachment and emotional needs in just a minute. Why don't you stay tuned as we go to station identification, because we know the only thing that keeps us going and on this air is the power of faith. Join us as we celebrate the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in a heart
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is our ancestral song, and that's why we feel so strong about acknowledging our ancestors on a daily basis. And I didn't say to worship them. I said to acknowledge them and commune with them. That is why every day we take our time to call out our loved one's name, to remind them that we still remember them, and we want to reconnect them back to the family. So why don't you join me, newcomers and oldcomers. Newcomers, for you, we acknowledge our ancestors and commune with them on a daily basis. And you ought to, too, because I'm sure that you're not taking time on a day-to-day basis and meditating and getting your prayers in. This is a way you'll be careful to contact God on a daily basis. And the Holy Spirit will be careful to remind you of all things that are hidden or unknown. Nothing won't slip up on you. He'll bring to remembrance everything that you've ever calculated, everything that you've ever set to memory. He'll bring it back to you. Isn't it great that we have an inset, innate chemical in our body that works with us to help us function in our glands? But now we have a spiritual entity that reminds us that we are to pray and gives us information that we are trying to recall. It's a blessing that we can go before God in prayer. At one time, we used to have priests to go for us and speak on behalf of us. Now that the ultimate sacrifice was made and the veil was torn, we can go boldly, boldly before the throne of Christ. And as we go boldly, we know that our prayers can be petitioned without us worrying about if the priest was clean, if he was foul or violated. We can petition on our own behalf. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angelical forces all around. Let us praise them right now, for we are standing in their presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise them right now, for we are standing in their presence, for we are standing in their presence on holy ground. Ladies, know that you're on holy ground, and men as well. As we stand on holy ground, know that this place that you're standing in, the talking care room, we can hallow this space and call it set aside for the benefit and purpose of sanctifying the ground. And as we pour the water in representation of the ground, we hallow this space and sanctify this space, knowing that God will meet us here every time we cross his path. It is so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand the spirit realm. It is so important that you understand that nothing that manifests itself can be created without the spoken word. Nothing can be created unless it is created within the spirit. What you see in the natural is only an illusion. But when you begin to pray, it's a behavior modification. It's calling the spirit to take hold in the subconscious mind. The behavior modification begins to do something special on the right side of the brain. And as you call things to you with the rhema and the logos of the spoken word, something magnificent begins to happen. The spirit cannot even give utterance for it. Even the vibration that we ultimately see vibrating, there was something there even before the vibration and the darkness, the triple darkness, before it was even there. Scientists cannot even project if there was anything there at all other than God's presence. That little atom or germ that we have taken for granted in science, we are now rethinking our madness to say, could God have given a spoken word, a rhema, a logo, and there was no atom there at all, nor frequency? If that be the case, ladies and gentlemen, then we have embarked upon a magnificent clarity of what spirit is. We have been able to get a glimpse of what heaven is. Heaven is not in the sky like we had thought or been taught. Heaven is not out in the atmosphere like we have been taught, but in the spoken word, in the breath of life, in the Zoe breath of life. We can get a glimpse of heaven on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen, as we go into the spirit and allow ourselves to go into the subconscious mind. Now go with me as we chant a prayer. In our spirit, as we hum a spirit, I will synchronize my vital signs with yours while you synchronize yours with me. Hopefully synchronicity will appear. Maybe it's somebody you thought about. Maybe it's somebody you want to knock on your door. Maybe it's that friend that you've been looking for. But synchronicity will and must set in. Things will align themselves in your life. That's why we align our frequencies together, so we vibrate. And if your vibration is too low, then maybe I can lend you my eye shape, and you can lift your spirit up, and you can assume the proper position. And you can know that your brothers and sisters are very important as you reconnect to them, dead or alive. They are important because they connect the circle of life. What we're trying to do here today is to bring life into existence and have our heaven here on earth. Now synchronize your vital signs with me, taking deep breaths, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing out the frustrations of confusion. Breathing in understanding and clarity. Breathing out misnomers. Breathing out falsehoods. Inhaling prosperity. Inhaling riches. Inhaling the mind of Christ. Aligning ourselves with the Godhead that lives inside of us, called Ori. Ori, are you out there? Ori, I am to give you homage, and I am to give you much praise. If I am to have good success, I must acknowledge you, Ori. And this day, I acknowledge you, Ori, for going all the way with me. When they asked, who can go all the way with you? And the answer was, no one can go all the way with you except Ori. Ori will never leave you. And that is the essence of God that has been placed in you. It cannot leave you. It was given to you as the ultimate gift. Now stir up that gift. Wake up, Ori, and begin to use Ori. And Ori will bring all things to remembrance. Ori is like your spearhead, your higher force, your Godhead. Know that that is the only God that you can ever know personally. The God that created this universe has no concerns over your affairs. The affairs of man have been placed in the hand of Ori. Get to know Ori. It is a proper terminology for your higher spiritual self. Understand comedic things and understand things that deal with the Asa Aset, the comedic industry. Understand that we are comedic people, Nubian people, and very peculiar at that. You peculiar people Begin to do peculiar things and let others see that you speak to the wind and that you command the waves of the water and that you have control of the spoken word. Let the voice that you have be powerful and mighty, like the cutting of the two-edged sword, cut going in and cut coming out. Know that your very spoken words, you can send your words to heal them. Deep in our spirit now, let us call on the forces to be. As I pour a glass of water for my Father's spirit, I say, Ashe, Father. May your thirst be quenched. As I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit, I say, Mother, drink and grow strong. As I wash my face and hands so that I won't greet my ancestors with a stale face, I pour libations to the west and I say, Ah, shame. I pour libations to the east and I say, Ah, shame. As I pour libations to the north, I say, Ah, shame. As I pour libations to the south, I say, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. Call on your ancestors, Selah. They will make you strong. Call on your ancestors, my dear. She will keep you grounded. Call on Big Daddy. Call on Papa. Call on Aunt B. Call on Aunt Harriet, call on Aunt Essie. They will make you strong. And call on Aunt Clara, Robert. Call on Tommy C. Harvey. Call on Michelle Harvey. I call on the spirits of my ancestors, Eugene Lilly, Robert Jenkins, Ashe, Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe, Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on the ancestors of Sam Lilly, Ashe. I call on the ancestors to be, that they may come and pick us up and make us strong, and they may be our eldest brother so that we can stand on their shoulders today. And ancestors of you in the lagoon, if you're traveling through the third world country, if you're traveling through the midnight hour, if you're traveling out of a cave, if you're making your way through a canal, if you're coming down, as I say, go west, ancestors. Travel back home, all the way back home to your family and reconnect with us. And may there be many with you that are against us. And may you align yourself. And may that circle never be broken so that we will stand tall in the end time, with family being the most important thing of the century, with family being the center point. Because whatsoever thing is above is below. And as we set the parables for the family to be represented in the heavens, which we know are out in Ile-Ife, we have become wiser in our old age, and we have become astute to what is spirit. And fairy tales, we put away the things of our past. We've embraced consciousness, clairvoyance, clear into the future. Clairvoyant so that you can see into the lives of your loved ones. Clairaudio so that you can hear what the spirits have to say and what is going on in the atmosphere. God, we speak clairvoyant and we speak clairaudio over our people, that their gifts may come back from their medulla oblongata that is stored in the cosmic record, that they may begin to store up their gifts and said that their eyesight that was once dull and blind and their jaundiced vision will now be cleared and their third eye will be opened. And the ninth ether in their hair shafts will become curlier and coiled more than ever before. And they will begin to pick up the antenna rays from the mighty God, Olagumare, and also from our prophet, Oromola. We know that there is nothing new under the sun. And if we should prosper as black people, we should help others to prosper. This new thing that I'm talking about, this new Jerusalem that I'm speaking of, it is for every man. Let whosoever come, let him come wanting and seeking, white men, Gentiles, and Jews alike. This is no religion of perspective. God has no respecter of man, black nor white. What he'll do for one, he'll do for all. This new thing that I'm calling forth is a change. Not just for African Americans, not just for the Caucasian, not just for the Jews, but for all men. God Almighty, for all men, let whosoever will come forth. Now, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? In the end, it says we will. In the end, it says we will. And we will have houses that are not filled with wheat. And the riches of the wicked have been laid already up for the just. They are now calling the just to take their proper places and to receive their land. If you are one of the just, then you are to let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so in the Lord. If you have been redeemed, not by hands of men, but redeemed by a supernatural spirit, you are to stand strong today because your redemption is near. Your redemption is near. People who have the ability to have faith in God. God said, whoever will come and sit up with him, he didn't ask you your name, or your religion, or your creed, or your nationality. He said, who would ever humble themselves, and who would die for my name's sake, will be risen with Christ. And if you want the new kingdom, you must die to this world to be resurrected. Knowing that this is the time and the hour, do not think that it's strange that God has chosen this hour and time to bring truth to all people, black men, Gentiles, Jews alike, big men, little men, wherever you are, know that God is no respecter of persons. This climate, this time, will be for all people, not some that have been set aside. Not some that has been faithful. God knows no respected person. You are all equal at the cross. Now at the crossroads, you must decide whose report will you believe. You must decide, will you die to the old man and be resurrected to a new spirit where you are three-dimensional, able to produce out of your own frame of reference. Your consciousness, ladies and gentlemen, must be changed. You must be brought to a higher consciousness. A higher consciousness. So all of your frame of reference will be brought out of your consciousness. Think on these things. Think on good things and good thoughts. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things be of a good report. I ask you once again, whose report will you believe? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for going on that Talking Cure Spirit with me. As the spirit does take control and take utterance, I make no apologies for the spirit. I make no altercation for the spirit. I am just being obedient to what the spirit has to say. And if I am to be a vessel that he works through, I have to humble myself and allow the spirit to speak through me, just as you have to do. And you must understand one thing, that God has no respect of person. He is not coming back here for the black race only or for the white race. You have to get it in your spirit and understand that God is not coming back for a perspective of people. It is a mindset. It is a consciousness. Your consciousness has to go to a higher plane and think thoughts on the consciousness of a higher plane. And as you begin to think your thoughts on a higher plane, you see all people as being beautiful and lovely. You see the consciousness of their heart, and you see the content of their character. Caucasian, I'm speaking to you too. God doesn't care how straight your hair is or how fair your skin is. He's not looking for a people of color. He is not looking for a classification of monetary gain. He's looking for a changed heart condition. My question is today, has your heart been converted? Have you changed the thoughts of others? If you have not, let this be the day, the beginning of a new day for you. Go back and heart your brother. Go back and ask forgiveness from your sister. Go back and ask if you can serve them. That's right. Ask that you can do ballet and serve someone else. To be able to serve you every day is a blessing for me. To humble myself, to put down the things I'm doing, to bring the world to you is a very humbling experience that I do with honor. And I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. But learn to be a servant. Find a way to give something back. Release those things out of your hand that you're holding now. You say you have nothing in here. Then release the very thing that you hold held on to the tightest. Release it. And God will send it back to you in double fold. Do you not know that the riches of the wicked have already been made up to the just? Our goods are already there during the advent of the world. We can receive them anytime we want. I have received mine now. I choose to have my heavenly on earth, and I am going to receive what's in the atmosphere for me. I am going to be obedient, and every day I have breath, I'm going to get up and pour my mission and acknowledge all my ancestors who made it possible for me to receive in the natural. They're no longer here in the natural, but they have opened every door so that I can receive in the natural. You ought to be obedient. And I've already told you, Caucasian sisters, that you must honor the Lord. If you have not gone and made apologies to those African American women who you crossed and double crossed, it will be difficult for you. It won't go well for you. Now, I'm saying to you today is the day of redemption, and your redemption is near and is here. We ought to pardon those we have had out again. We ought to straighten our lives now so we can start a new day, a fresh day, a day that we can begin to acknowledge that we live and have our being in God Almighty, and because of Him we live, and we are living to live out His life. We have a debt to pay. Our lives are not our own. We must remember that we are here for His good being. And we must praise God. And if we don't, He said that He will call a very tree to bend its branches in our place. I hope you've made up your mind that ain't no tree gonna bend its branches in your place. I hope you've made up your mind that you're gonna see your brother as yourself. I hope you've made up your mind that you're gonna stop showing partiality to these middle class women on these jobs who want to produce a full term baby. And if you're acting out the scheme of prejudice on your job, I hope you've made up your mind to go into that workplace and tell your boss, I'm not going to study war no more. I'm not going to seek and heap heavy coals over my brothers and sisters no more. I hope you've made up your mind that if you are holding back the money, their money, their property, their housing allowance, their children, I hope you've made up your mind to release those things. At the sound of my voice, I hope you have retreated and called the truth and said, for the benefit of those who I have been holding hostage, I want to let them go. I want to let them go so that I can receive my blessing. Receive your blessing today. If you have said and repeated the things I said, Father, If I have been a hindrance to someone, then make me their footstool. I repent for what I've done. Repent is what God wants us to do. When you are saved from something, you're in a repentful stage. You can ask God to forgive you, and he will be faithful and just to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness and put you in right standing again. How many of you want right standing? Raise both your hands. If you want right standing today, it's yours for the asking, but you have to be sincere in your heart about making that change. How many of you are going to make that change today? I say, just like Michael Jackson said, make that change and do it fast. Make that change. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going with me and going a little bit over the time. But the Spirit was in the house. We had to be obedient to the Spirit. Now let us get right back into our subject matter for today. But before we do that, we want to talk about what shoulders are made for. I hope they're made for holding up women and babies.
Shoulders are for emergencies only. Talk to me, poem. I'm all alone. Nobody understands what I'm saying. Have you been in jail, poem? A lot of poems go to jail like a lot of women who get tired of no good men. Do no good poems beat up on people? Do no good poems say, I'm sorry, the next day? I know poems get lost because they're always being found. There are wanted posters, milk bottles, and lonesome guitars in the night looking for a poem to take home. I know poems get neglected, just like doo-wop singing on the back porch and the deacons opening church with leaning on the everlasting arms. People forget what got them over, what saved them. What are your plans, poem? Give it up. I hear you're a rap star now, going for the Grammy and the gold. Everybody's singing your praises. Do you ever miss your home? The sign on I-81 says, shoulders are for emergencies only. Ride me, poem. I think I've got the blues.
We want to thank Nikki Giovanni for her excellent oratory and her poetry. It has been such an inspiration to myself and as well as others in this room. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going right on into our topic. We're talking about attorney at law, and we're going to cover the one aspect of what are the goals of the court team and why have they been developed and what is our expectation. Ladies and gentlemen, about maybe 2 years ago, I was asked to help assist with helping babies from the court, and I decided that I was going to assimilate my information out and try to get as many professionals as I could to align themselves with this particular effort. At that particular time, I was not aware of the low birth rate problem, but it became an issue later on, and I thought that because this isn't my area of specialty, then I was obligated to do something that was radical to help these infants. And this is my radical movement that I'm making towards change. And people, you must remember that religion is a radical movement, and if you say you're in Christ, you should be radical about your positions on things to make change. Religion should bring about radical change. If it doesn't, then you need to disperse this, you need to disbar it, because radical change must come when you are religion about something. And Jesus was a radical mover, and he radically changed the conditions for people's lives. And if you say you love Jesus, you have to look out for those radical dispositions and get on board and help to make the change. And I guess you can say that's what I've done. I've taken issue after issue to bring it to the forefront to make a radical change for the benefit of not only black people but all people, but specifically those black people who have been held down for so long. Now, because we say that new knowledge is coming forward, then we ought to take that new knowledge and make a change with it. And I am making that effort to make a change about male-treated infants and toddlers and what our goals are. Our goals, number one, is to make it clear, perfectly clear, to the courtrooms and the judge what is necessary and what is in decent order for an infant. It is not decent to have a child wait, knowing that they have no patience for waiting. It is not decent to deny the child their basic birthright, and that is attachment. And we're going to be speaking about emotional attachments and needs today. Infants don't have the need just to eat and to breathe air. Those are given rights, but they have also the need to be attached to something because they're vulnerable and they can't help themselves. So we plan to make it known to those courts throughout the state of Indiana and in other states that there is a radical movement for professionals to come forward and to be the watchman on the wall and to watch over how these infants are being cared for through the judicial system and how their cases are being adjudicated. And I am willing to bet that there are some women who don't know their rights and who have actually been accused of child abuse and who are innocent, and they've had to wait out the system and their babies had to be separated from them. Now, we want more professionals to be involved with the investigation of these cases so they could expediently make a decision and free those women who might not be guilty. Now, granted as is may, mothers have to be taught how to handle children in an appropriate way. If mothers are intoxicated, are full of the spirit, and also are drawn off of drug addiction, then they won't know what to do for their children when the proper time comes. And you can't tell me any different that it's okay for a drug-addicted mother to care for a child. It's not okay. She's not in a sound mind, even though she would like to believe she is. Now, my question is why so many of us African-Americans have to have a crutch every day to depend on before we can get out of bed? We have to have that drink, or we have to have that snort, or that cocaine. We didn't come here like that. Are we now becoming emotionally dependent upon things to give us a fix? Well, note this, ladies and gentlemen. African Americans have a natural spirit. Maybe your melanin is calcified and you can't get a normal high from a spiritual connection with God. Maybe you're lacking that spiritual connection with God, so you don't know of that spiritual high and you long for it, so you decide to invent a counterfeit. What you're getting is a counterfeit, ladies and gentlemen. And anything that's a counterfeit over time has tattletale signs that oftentimes come with addictive behaviors and also side effects. Now, if you're trying to get a mellow feeling and a feeling of happiness, there is a happy zone in the brain that you can contact in a natural way. Now, let me give you my case in point here in this courtroom. I am not a lawyer, but I can adjudicate on behalf of babies as their guardian ad litem. I'd like to give you this case in point. If you are in the process of trying to get a natural high or get a high to take you away from the experiences and the wholesome, unwholesome things that happen to you every day, the abusiveness, the partiality, and the racism, and you're trying to escape it. And you feel that if you put yourself in the mode of being high, you won't feel anymore. I've heard African Americans say, I just don't want to feel anymore. I want to be invisible. Why are so many African Americans wanting to displace themselves from this conscious being that they're in now? Why? And why are we looking at the opiums? The opiums, they're in the church, and they're in the cocaine, they're in the reefer, the opiums. We are so dissatisfied that we would turn to grass if they told us if we smoke it, we'd feel better. We just want to feel better. Now, let me give you my case in point. It is a known fact, and you can go behind Omi's words on this. It is a known fact that in the brain, in the neural synapse, you send serotonin across the brain waves. I learned this in my anatomy and physiology class during the time I was an undergrad. There's neural synapse, and they're just waiting for you to consciously create a good act, a gesture of giving. Note I said giving. I don't care if you're handing somebody food. I don't care if you're giving someone a gift or giving someone a kiss. That serotonin level goes up once the act of positive gestures is done. the receiver receives that serotonin lift and immediately sends serotonin across the brain waves to excite it and to lift the spirit. Now, here's the other supernatural thing. If I was sitting there observing or you was observing, yet you were not receiving anything, just through the observation of the situation of giving, your serotonin level and my serotonin level would also go up. If we want to change our condition of our surroundings and how bad we feel because of the economy, the crisis and economic, our situation and job problems, our babies being taken out of the home, the foster care, you can do it, black people. You can do it. Because the word went forth that they would know us, black people, by the way we love one another. Back in the 60s, we stayed entangled in each other. We didn't go anywhere unless the other person went. We were oftentimes giving each other something, and not a bunch of lip or hearsay, but giving each other love and attention. So we kept the serotonin level moving in our brain. So therefore, our consciousness was a little higher. And cocaine and reefer hadn't come on the scene yet. Do you not know that these pharmaceutical drugs were created for you? They were once used in the hospital. Cocaine is a drug that's used in the hospital under medical surgery, under skillful doctor's hand. But they saw a way to give it to you to make you feel good temporarily, and that you couldn't afford the pure cocaine, so you really didn't know the real high. You just knew of the particle rock cocaine being part of the authentic cocaine, so you still, once again, got a replicated counterfeit taste of what you thought you were getting, a glimpse of heaven. Now, we've got to preach more on cocaine and tell people what the substitute could be for that same feeling. Now, as a marriage and family counselor, I've taken courses in drug habilitation so that I could understand enough to teach women. I've taken pharmacology to break down what is in this drug and causing the craving. Now, Indians know this, but I guess we as black people don't know it, that our spirits are so high that we will end up having an addictive to any type of drug we take in our body. Now, here's the real thing. You've got African Americans not understanding that because they produce melanin, and this melanin is calcified and it's not functioning properly in some people. If you give cocaine to an African person, the melanin will then set in that particular medulla oblongata where the melanin is, and even if you get off the drug, you will have periodic episodes of reoccurrence of the same type of side effects from being on the drug. It is hard. It bonds to your melanin. And that is one of the reasons why it was put on the market, because you're the only person, African-American, where it bonds to your melanin. So if a Caucasian wanted to get off of cocaine, he could get free of cocaine and clear of it. But you would still have side effects because it's bonded to your melanin. Now, if someone told you that before you bought that pack of or a little crack cocaine, you would think, am I going to be damaging my brain for life just for a temporary feeling? There needs to be more education. And as a home ec teacher, one of the things that I like to see more in these home ec classes is a whole interesting chapter and curriculum on the side effects of drugs, cocaine, because it should be placed in the school system under a topic and under a discipline. Because the more education you have about pharmaceutical drugs and street drugs, the more ammunition you have to work against it. Now, serotonin. You've got African-American children who are being affected by the mother's blood alcohol level, and if she becomes an alcoholic, that child's stem, the stem of life, his vertebrae, is damaged by blood alcohol levels, bringing that child here with side effects from intoxication. Now, we still say we want to feel good. Now, when you go to church and you are getting the Holy Ghost, you really go to church so that you could eventually learn how to tarry for the Holy Ghost. The whole party is all about ultimately getting the organ playing, you getting up on the floor, working out your salvation, and getting the Holy Ghost. Now, you must remember that when you are jumping around and it's out of control and you have no control and you're getting this thing out of your system, you are then at the mercy of the Spirit because you've allowed the Spirit to take control of you. You're becoming possessed. And Africans have always had something called possession. You've turned your nose up at African religion, not knowing that African religion could heal you. This is what you're lacking, African American. When you go and grab for that cocaine, when you go and grab for those pharmaceutical drugs, you are trying to get a feeling that would allow you to be possessed, meaning that God's Spirit will possess you and speak to you and speak through you and give you solutions for your end time. But if you didn't know that, you'd reach for the cocaine thinking, I'm going to get this feeling of being reconnected, which is only temporary. But in the church, you become addicted to the church like it's a morphine. Why and how come? Because you are still longing for that possession. That possession, even in a moment's time, is like a drug. It actually fills the brain with all types of morphine to give it that happy, pleasurable feeling. Now, why don't the minister tell you that that's what you ultimately come to church for? To be slain in the spirit, to be drunk in the spirit. It's the same kind of high you get from cocaine or even drinking alcohol. But the only thing that's different is because when you get the Holy Ghost and the Spirit goes through you, it works out your problems. It tells you what to do about your problem. It speaks to you. Sometimes it speaks to the congregation to make adjustments and allowance for the problem that exists in the community. It gives us a community speech or it gives us an individual speech. It is a good thing. So if one could take all this nonsense out of church and just bring about the holiness dance, then we would be doing something profitable every day or every week. We would slay off that spirit that may be holding you down, and you would make contact with the spirit that could lift you up, ultimately becoming high temporarily. Now, it doesn't take a rocket science to know this, and I know if I know it, ministers know it too. And ministers ought to be telling you that the spirit is taking possession of your body while in church. And you are looking crazy, running all over the place, like it's been said, you got me looking so crazy right now, because you don't have control. And that spirit is working out your situation, giving you solutions, and directing you to make changes in your life. Now, we still got the problem with cocaine and with heroin and methadone and all these other things, and yet you're black, and you're thinking, nobody's having these problems but me. And Caucasian, you're no different. You having these longings too because you've been fed a lie about everything that's supposed to happen. So now you're looking for a fix too. So if we're all looking for a fix, then nobody is real anymore. We're all counterfeits, and we're allowing some other spirit to take over our body. The question is, what spirit are you allowing to take over your body? And can you get in the natural spirit so you can take credit for some of this work that's being done, and you can begin to use that spirit in a more positive way? And I'm speaking to you like this because I'm so sick and tired of the black community being heavily laden with drug addicted people who cannot even communicate anymore because they're nodding off of whatever selective drug they decide to use that week, and they're floating on a high and they're feeling so good. You know, what is this thing about feeling so good? Is life so bad that you need to feel so good? Because if it is, we need to make some changes, and we need to make them quick, because African Americans, you got to come back to the real world, And Caucasian, I know you got to do this because you got to go make money Monday morning. So you got to understand how you're going to make the money to get the fix. But at the same time, African American, the simpler things were usually just enough for us. We always just needed just enough. Living just enough. Just enough for the city, yeah. See, that's what our logo was and our battle cry. We didn't always have to have excess amount of this and excess amount of that. Our very greed have driven us to the point of not wanting to be in the world because we couldn't compete and have what the next man had, and we felt we would never be able to get into that category. So we checked out. And we checked out so often that we never checked back in. Do you not know a mind is a terrible thing to waste? And that if you are taking control and hypnotically taking yourself out of the chemistry of the makeup of the general public and the world, then your attributes and contribution are not being sought after or inputted. So it's time that we look at whether or not getting high was beneficial for the black man. If you have to lose everything and desecrate yourself to an unethical man or woman just to get your high or fix, then it's not worth it. Then your life becomes a counterfeit. And if you remember in the movie with Ozzie D and Ruby Dee, Skeeter was so worthless to them, and the father felt he was so worthless that he felt he was better off dead. And he took him out of this world. Same thing happened to Marvin Gaye and his father. Do you not know when you get caught up on the drugs, you become wasteful and you become non-existing to your family because your spirit is so lowly depressed, your family doesn't know you anymore, and you become wasteful and easy to dispose of. Now, I don't know if you're taking cocaine to kill yourself, because it's a much easier way than to die of a slow death than what you're doing. And if you're trying to commit suicide, certainly that is not the drug of choice. So I want to say to those people who are trying to get off drugs right now, I want to say to those women who are taking those drugs and you know you're pregnant, stop it. The Lord and the Spirit told me to tell you stop it. There's a better way. There's an easier way to come back to your spiritual self. I know you're longing for spirit and you feel absent of spirit, and that's why you're taking the drugs. I know why. Because you're absent of spirit, and these drugs tend to make you feel like you're connected to spirit. It's a counterfeit. You can't reach God that way. There is a better way of reaching God through the drumming and the music and the dancing. Why don't you try it sometime? Before you go take another fix, go buy yourself some djembe drums and find you a drummer and ask them to beat for you. And watch how deep you go in the spirit and how deep your thought becomes and how easier it is to lift yourself up out of that difficult place. Drumming is our answer, ladies and gentlemen. Drumming has been taken off the face of the earth. In only a few places you see the djembe and the djunju drum. If we take up the drums again, it will send a warning to us. The spirit will begin to speak to you. Your mothers and your ancestors will begin to talk to you and tell you things that you know not of. And in your dance, you'll begin to work out your problems and your solutions. Here is where that synapse, the neural synapse, will send the fluid. The neuroserotonin levels will begin to change. And you'll see people take this heavy yoke off their back. Now, don't think it's strange that people were killed and your drums were sent over the water and the Cubans hit your drums to keep them in this time. Go back to the Cubans and say, release our drums. We need our drums. We've got to heal ourselves. Do you not know that in the African religion, they believe that all sorts of disease is within the religion, and there is no disease without a known cure? That Oromola and Oludulamare don't know anything about. There cannot be a disease that the African believe that can exist that they don't have a cure for. And most of it's done through the dancing of the African dance and the drumming. That is why on this show I make it my business to allow our people to dance, because in the dance, the serotonin is released. And when the serotonin is released, the melanin begins to heal the body naturally. If you want to be healed of this addiction, if you want to get away from waking up in the morning, having to take a drink or having to snort on something, then get into your African religion and take a high on the drummings. Take a high on the music. It will take you to another land. They say everyone has their choice of drug and addiction. Everyone has it, but let's choose healthy addictions and healthy addictions that will help us press our spirit forth. Let us understand that nobody cares if you choose the wrong drug. Nobody cares that you know your black self and your custom, but you've got to know that it's very important for you to understand why so many Africans craving after drugs. We didn't come here with cocaine in our nose. We didn't come here with that gin and juice. We didn't come here smoking on no pipe. These things are not germane to our society. It is a curse and it is a trick from the devil. Now that white dust that you're sniffing after and giving your body and laying down your life and prostituting yourself for, it is not a constant reminder of our African tradition. Our Africans would turn over in their grave if they know you let anything addict you. And if you're out there running after pharmaceutical drugs, I'm speaking to you too. Your high is in your music. Your high is in the spirit. Get you a set of drums and work your way off these drugs. This is what the Spirit told me to give you. He didn't say go over here to thus and so and pay him no money. He said you go get the spirits and get the drums. And when you play them, Oromola and Oladula Moray will speak to your spirit and heal your very soul. If it wasn't so, the spirit wouldn't have given it to me to give you. Now, those at the sound of my voice who will be obedient to what the spirit is saying, watch the healing process take place in your life or your loved one's life. The drums are our answer and key to the displacement of the African American's culture. Now, I hope you heard what the spirits had to say. Emotional attachments. African American, it's not only our babies who have emotional attachments. It's us as grown-ups. So lest we become a fetus and go to the fetal position, we still have emotional attachment. So what makes us think that our babies wouldn't have these emotional attachments? In essence, a large amount of us haven't matured yet. We're still walking around with a wet diaper and a sagging pants. It's all an indication to tell you that you have not matured to the level of an adult, and you're still seeking emotional attachments such as cocaine, such as heroin, and methamphetamine, and all manners of pharmaceutical drugs. These are emotional attachments. You can be free today. Touch your terminal. Ask God to clear your mind long enough to help you to redirect your thoughts on the spiritual African drums. And every day, take some time, instead of taking that cocaine, play your drums and sit there and nod off of the music. As you go into deep spirit, God will meet you there at the point of your need. He will send you back to the fetal position of your mother's. And you will get the emotional attachment that you've been longing for right in the midst of that spiritual emotion. You can become a mature adult and loose yourself of the emotional attachments that our babies are longing for. Because our mothers are absent without leave. Our fathers have already long been absent. They are AWOL. We are calling them back. Calling them back to a spiritual position. I will not get off the spirit because church is not the answer. They are feeding you dopamine and a form of a drug causing you to become addicted to the dance and the music. And they only allow you that temporary dance and the walk in the park. But when you go home, you don't know how to get it back. You need to take those drums to the church and tell them that we will not have church unless we can have our African drums. We need a real healing, Pastor. We need the Spirit to take control of the sermon, Pastor, and we need to work out our situation and our solution in the song and dance. And I mean there's something in the drum that you cannot get in the organ. There's something in the drum, the heartbeat will identify with the drum, and it will begin to heal you. I know because I had a set of djembe drums, and I saw the effect that it had on me and my family. And I was often told that they were stolen away from us because they were fearful that the drums could send a message, that the drums could talk to us, and they can. You need the drums to talk to you today, African American. And Caucasian, you know the deal. You've gone and gotten our drums, and now you're in circles playing our drums and getting healed with our medicine. African, take your medicine back. Take your medicine back. There's somebody out here in the audience that don't want to be drunk no more. There's somebody in the audience that don't want to be intoxicated no more. There's somebody in the audience that don't want to sip after that cocaine no more. Then you consider yourself free today. I don't care what money you have. Take it and go buy yourself a set of June drums or talking drums. I'm telling you what the Spirit has to say today. Because somebody don't want to turn another page without getting cure and getting help. Your cure is within you. You have the answer to healing yourself. You didn't just start taking cocaine and say, well, I wonder what I'm going to get for a cure. You always had the cure innately in you. When you reach up to God, God reaches out to you, and that is your beginning of your healing. But you can't do that when you have a dead spirit. These drugs will kill the spirit, leaving you with no motivation to dance or to lift yourself up. But God said if you reach out to him and take one step towards him, he will take two steps towards you. And if it be inshallah, and if you're not half dead, he will be able to reach you and bring you back. Bring you back, ladies and gentlemen. At the sound of my voice, ask God. Say, God, I want to be brought back. Say it with me. God, I want to be brought back. Help me to find the cure in the beating of the drums. Help me to find the cure in dancing and acting out my frustration in the dance. God has the answer for you, and you must be obedient to what the spirits have said today. Now, emotional attachments for babies, why do they have them? Because we have them. And God has allowed them born at a low birth rate because of the mothers and fathers have eaten bitter grapes, cocaine. Now the children's teeth are set on edge, meaning that we have taken up wrong substance in our body. Now our children come here laden with brain syndrome damages and alcohol syndrome and cocaine addiction. It is abomination before God for a newborn to start out struggling and fighting for their life. It is abomination of God. And I know that life can't be that bad that we're going to turn to death. Why don't you turn to life? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now let us speak to the blood and tell the blood what it's going to do. Remember, whatever thing starts out, it has to be spoken in the atmosphere. And it has to happen in the spirit. We're going to speak to the spirit. We're going to speak to the blood. Blood, we're telling you that for every African American that repeats this prayer, he will be talking to you, blood, and you have to be obedient. And when blood calls, blood answers. Blood, we're calling you today that there is no amount of addiction in your plasma. There is no amount of addiction in the water that's within your blood that can keep calling these African Americans back to the drug. Blood, we tell you to reject the cocaine. We tell you to reject the reefer. We tell you to reject all of the particles that they will put in the reefer. We tell you, blood, to reject the heroin, to reject any pharmaceutical drug. Spew it out. For those who are addicted, reject it. And blood, we we're speaking to you because the Bible said, speak to the life of the blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, we're calling the blood out today. Blood, you have been holding on to addictions. Blood, you have been suppressing lies because you have addicted the young and caused them to be born here, addicted in their brain stem. Now, we're speaking to you, blood. You must line up with what God said the word of God is. Blood, you must cleanse yourself and detoxify yourself from all of these ritualistic addictions. Blood, we're speaking to you because you must spring clean today. There is no more women craving, calling on the cocaine to satisfy you, blood. Blood, you must act on your own account because God said that we were putrefied in our own blood, meaning that you had a hold on us, blood. You had a hold on us, and you were keeping us down. And God had to speak to you himself and said, release these people. Release them. He spoke to the blood that was putrefied, and the blood listened and heard and gave up the people that God found putrefied in his blood. Now, I'm speaking to you today, blood. On this day, I said, release those addictive women and children and men. Do not crave that cocaine anymore, or that heroin, or that reefer. Reject it. And I'm speaking to you, blood, because I know you hear me. Because the life of these people is in the blood, and they're lifeless today, and they have no life in them because you have supernaturally suffocated them and imposed on them. Now you're so thick and heavy in their spirit that they don't know you and they don't know themselves. Bring back clarity to every one of these addicted people at the sound of my voice. Bring back a clear mind so that they can stand on their own account. They will no longer be putrefied anymore with you holding on to these addictions. They will no longer have these emotional attachments. The emotional attachments will be freed. Even with the babies in those incubators, they will go here, come here and attach themselves to the love-making nurses in the hospital, and they will not have the craving for emotional touch like they've had. Now, those brothers and sisters who haven't had emotional touch in a long time, they will gain their feeling back. They will gain their senses back. And we decree this at the sound of my voice, blood, your putrefaction days are over. Now, I'm telling you what you have to do. It doesn't just take one time. You got to keep speaking to the blood every day because it is a process of recovery. And as you meditate on God's word, playing your drums and speaking to that blood to tell it to line up. Let's go to commercial.
The Sermon on the Warp Land. The fact that we are black is our ultimate reality. Ron Karenga. And several strengths from drowsiness campaigned, but spoke in single sermon on the warpland. And went about the warpland saying, no. My people, black and black, revile the river. Say that the river turns, and turn the river. Say that our something in double pod contains seeds for the coming hell and health together. Prepare to meet, sisters, brothers, the brash and terrible weather, the pains, the bruising, the collapse of bestials, idols. But then, oh then, the stuffing of the hulls, the seasoning of the perilously sweet, the health, the heralding of the clear obscure. Build now your church, my brothers, sisters. Build never with brick, nor corten, nor with granite. Build with live love, with love like lion eyes, with love like morning rise, with love like black, our black, luminously indiscreet, complete, continuous.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Care to Read Room, and I am Omi Inka 7, your host for the evening, and I have allowed the Spirit to talk through me. I hope you recognize who I was. I have been allowing the Spirit to work through me and move through me, and some might call that an avatar, but every one of you can allow the Spirit to move through you and have His being. And I encourage you every day to allow the Spirit to work through you and give you solution for an end time. What I just gave you was a solution for an end time for a group of African Americans who have been so hellbound set on having emotional attachments to wrong substance, such as substance abuse. We have not spoke out and said anything about it, but it is an emotional attachment. And it's no wonder that our infants would still be attached to emotional things. They ought to be attached to emotional things because they have no one to secure them. However, African Americans, we have grown up and we've put away the things of a child. Our emotional attachments should not manifest themselves in our drug addictions. We ought to have stronger things that we can lean towards. And I'm asking every one of you, do not give in to addictions. And do not give in to allowing your melanin to be damaged. You might be taking a trip for a lifetime. When we do come into consciousness, you might not be able to use your melanin, and it might be warped, calcified. If it's not already calcified, you're going to have to go to naturopathic doctors, and you're going to have to ask them to help decalcify your melanin so that your melanin in your brain will not be connected to cocaine, which will periodically come back on you as a fix or a high, even after you've gotten off cocaine. So you say, well, what's the purpose of getting off? The purpose of making the first step to get off of it, asking the spirits to help you, asking the spirits to intervene. You cannot do it on your own. And even if you go into an alcoholic and drug counselor, they can't do it all for you. You have to get with the spirit and call on the spirits as if you've never called on them before and ask them to fight for you. As you make that journey to get off of those drugs, it is not a simple walk in the park. It is an ordeal. It is a process. But you must believe the Spirit will take you there. You must believe the Spirit will rid you of that emotional attachment of drugs, and you will be attached to the Spirit. It is a lovemaking episode where you become connected with the Spirit. It is a good choice to make. Maybe you haven't observed yet, but every day you see that I am hooked to the Spirit because I know the Spirit is going to strengthen me and give me the things I need in my natural life. And I am imploring you, mothers, quit taking these drugs because your babies are being born here desecrated and they're crawling around on the floor blind, lost, in the fetal position, having much emotional attachment. And we know that babies ought to come here with emotional attachment. We know that it's very important for them to have needs. Infants have needs. Now, they have health needs as well. And we must understand, as we go into Always Sisters and Always Friends, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be talking about developmental needs of the child. These are normal needs that the child needs to crave for. And you have to be in your right mind, mothers, in order to help these infants. You cannot be slumbered and drunk trying to help the infants because it becomes obvious you are emotionally a wreck. And if you are on drugs, you cannot satisfy their emotional needs because you're too busy satisfying your own. Now, we want to come away from that. I love you, family, and I don't want to see our people crawling around on all fours. I don't want to see our women subjecting themselves to whatever sexual act is necessary and selling their body all in the name to get satisfied with drugs. It is a counterfeit. It is a trick, ladies and gentlemen. There's something better than that. Now, if you want to take that next step to something higher, please take the next step and buy yourself some drums with that money you were going to buy cocaine with. I don't care if you can't play. Sit and play those drums until the Spirit teaches you how to play them, until the Spirit soothes your mind and begins to heal your sick, sick body. And keep playing it until you can find the dance in your spirit and your smile comes back and the Spirit takes possession of you. You have to have an experience. They tell me before we can become a priest, we have to have a possession. And a possession means a visitation where God takes possession of your body and the spirit takes over. And if you haven't done that, you haven't had a real experience of a high. So you're getting a counterfeit anyway. I know about highs because we're told as we become prepared to become priests, we must have a possession. And that means that possession is going to come into you and crave for the spirit and the dance. So, ladies and gentlemen, please know that is the spirit you want to take possession of your body. You don't want some other unknown spirit that's taking over you and you don't even know yourself anymore. You got the tricks and you're scratching and itching and all of these different emotions taking over your body and cravings, and now you're out of your mind. Take heed, brothers and sisters. There is a solution, and it's always been a solution, but you didn't know it was there. Now you're going to these psychiatrists who don't have an answer or a solution for your spiritual black self. You must go to priests and priestess who know exactly what you're longing for and lacking for. Before you take any more substance in your body, go to a priest and talk to them and tell them what the problem is with your addiction and let him help you, let her help you. There is a solution for you. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Speak to the blood and you will find that solution. Let us go on to Always Sisters, Always Friends, and Celie's going to help us out with that. With Miss Celie's blues, because we know this thing called the blues, black folks say they always get it, and it's just something that we're going to be stuck with and we're going to always get, but there's a way to deal with the blues, and we know that. Lady Day has always told us the blues is going to be with you, sister. Lady Day made the mistake of taking drugs because she was so inundated by the blues. We're not going to let the blues overtake us anymore. We know what to do now. Come on, Miss Celie. Now, you know what? Sometimes when you get to preaching so good in here, somebody want to turn your radio off. You better turn my radio back on. That's right. The Naomi is feeling fine, ladies and gentlemen. And how is everyone doing? How are my sisters doing out there? Sisters, we want you to come right in and take a seat. That's right. And before we get to our topic, I want to say this, that Neely's teacher has been teaching her a lot of things. And sisters, I hope you know that you've been teaching me a lot of things too. Excuse me. And I want to say that one sister to another, my host is not here today, but we'd like to wish her well and say hello, Maddie Harvey. We're doing this show just for you. This one's for you, girl. Now, we've been talking about emotional attachments. Now, we're talking about the developmental tendencies and needs of an infant. Now, we're going to liken our black men to an infant today. Now, roll with me on this one, sister, because something happened to our men, and we want to use them for an example because we want them to mature and we want them to come up to the level of a putrid human being and an intelligent, mature man. Somebody decided to reduce our men to that of a baby. They started to make them talk like we're going to the crib and things that would make them appear to be immature. And they started to dress in a way where their clothes were sagging and pants down their ankle. Now, what became of that whole philosophy? I understand it came out of the prison institute. Now, don't quote me on this because I'm just speculating. But wearing the pants down low as if they're hanging with a sagging diaper full of sputum would make one think that they are now regressing back to that of a toddler who has an emotional need. Now, if that emotional need was in the prison, then that would indicate to that homosexual, I have a need and you need to feel it. It's a way of sending a signal. Unfortunately, men were not condescending of the fact, but yet they wore this style because they thought it was stylish. And to have the pants around the ankle would also indicate, I am available to you, homosexual. Now, this is what was told to Omi. This is not according to Omi. That emotional need could have been felt and filled and still could be filled by a woman. That homosexual act that you went through did not make you a homosexual. Sex must start in the mind. If it wasn't in your mind, it's mind over matter. It doesn't matter. You can come back, man. You can shake off that psychological brainwashing that was putting you in prison, and you can come out of it and be rearranged, because brainwashing is rearranging, and you can have a rearrangement and come back to yourself. Now, what emotional needs do children have? Infants have the emotional need to be held. They have a developmental need that they must be stroked. They must learn how to crawl. And that developmental process must happen in order for them throughout the course of life not fail at some other developmental course. If they skip the crawling, some say that they're is a process which they must go back and learn to crawl, and then whatever that mental thing is in their head will be moved aside. I say the same thing has to happen for adults. And because I'm liking it to a man, you may have to go back and learn to crawl and come away from that emotional development that you've been stuck in. Now, how long can a craving last, and how long can a fad last? Fads go in and out. Tell me this, people. Why has the fad of sagging pants not gone out of style? Who is keeping this nonsense here to keep our men held into a permanent, premature developmental stage? Somebody's doing it. And African-American men, you ought to ask, who is it? Where is the fad coming from? And who's keeping it going in New York? In Paris, who's doing it? Then there's some brothers that say, I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to put on me a pair of tight pants now. I'm going to wear these tight pants, and it's going to affect my scrotum, and now I'm going to look like a punk. So we're going from one thing to the next. Where are the real men with their suits on clean cut and belts on and their physique showing? Why are these all these big clothing so we can't use our imagination to see the physique and the muscles of a man anymore, which will cause a woman to have googly eyes and have interest in you? So when you come up to them and say, baby, they'll say, baby, baby, baby. They'll say, baby, back. And they won't be saying, baby, got much back. But they'll be talking to each other because they see that need and they see what they are showing them, that they're a real man or a real woman. Somebody's got us confused about our developmental stages. And we're going to have to take our grown-ups back to a developmental stage. Now, woman, let me talk to you a little bit. And this is always, sisters, always friends, I still love you. And I'm not going to tell you nothing by telling you in a mean spirit. I'm telling you this because I love you. Now, I can't see the need for everything you wear that has to be so tight-fitting to the point where you can't halfway bend over and you think that is so cute because the brother's going to see all of your continence when you move over. You've got to understand that's a developmental need. Maybe your father did not put you on his knee and said, baby, you're a cute little thing. Daddy just loves you. And don't you know your daddy loves you? And quit talking baby talk to your children. Talk to them like they're grown folks. Daughter, daddy don't want you wearing no tight stuff when you leave this house and giving no man no funny ideas and imagination. Go put on your cute little dress and be dainty and as cute as you can be. Now, if daddies were saying that to you little, you young ladies, you wouldn't have to wear these clothes so tight so that men would draw their attention to you. It is not appropriate. It's a developmental stage that you didn't go through with your dad. You lack sitting on his knee, and that's called lap time, if you didn't know it. Now, I have been told by a psychiatrist it is necessary for a developmental stage. You must have lap time. The mother must cuddle you. They must secure you. They must hold you. And this is a developmental need that infants need. Mothers have to do more holding. Have you noticed these young women, they take that baby and lay him on the couch and put a pillow in front of him and they never pick him up? The developmental need that an infant has, they must be cuddled and held, just like some of our men have to be cuddled and held too. They've developed an emotional need. And mother, you're doing so many things, you can't even hold your man. Sometimes when your men look like they need to be put back on track, sometimes you have to stop what you're doing and just hold them. It's emotional detachment where you're attaching your spirit to that man and pulling him up. Do you not know you can transfer energy to someone? You can send the energy and you can also infer the energy. But our infants are developing inappropriately because in the womb there's something taking place called racism. And they're hearing the arguments, they're hearing the frustration, and they're crying out. So they refuse to thrive and develop. And they come here prematurely late, and they come here prematurely early, and they don't develop properly. We have a problem, people, with our developmental stages of our infant. Some of them are in homes where mothers don't do anything but sit them up in front of a TV set, and developmentally they're delayed. And when they discover this delayment, when they come out of the hospital, there's ample time to bring it to the attention of your doctors so that that child can go back for therapy. Don't cover it up. Don't feel like you're emotional distraught. Huh, my baby cannot have no disability. What do you mean he's got a third, he's got a sixth finger and it didn't fall off? What do you mean he won't be able to talk? Oh, my baby's going to talk. Accept what the specialists are telling you and try to get some help. Don't go using an emotional need. Now you're discriminating against your baby. You treat the baby indifferent. You sit him over in the corner and you talk about your other children. And because that child's deformed, you discriminate against your own child. He's emotionally delayed and he is being abused. We have to understand that neglect is a thin line from being abused. We're talking about developmental stages in this room today. Developmental stages that's happening with African-American, lacking in the black male's physical stage and how he conducts himself as a man. Jawanza Kanjupu said you don't have to worry about these boys ever becoming men if you cut them off at the males, at the young boy stage. We've got to rapture our young boys and help them to do a rites of passage, to transition into manhood. That's a developmental stage that we want them to go through. Infants have to start out properly so that they are crawling first, and we are helping them to learn which stages and ages they should be doing things at. If your child is 2 years old and he's not talking, then he transitioned into three-year-old, and you say, well, eventually he'll learn. Don't say eventually he'll learn. Bring it up to your pediatrician and ask her to do tests to see if it's a developmental stage and see if it's appropriate, because developmental stages may not be appropriate in our infants and toddlers. We must take heed in time enough while the window is open to help exercise and to develop that particular skill in that child. Now, sisters, I want to say something to you. You have gotten to the point where you want to get out of the hospital so quick, and sometimes your doctor recommends you stay there, and you don't, and you leave your baby and you go home and you come back and see the child. Stay in that hospital and go down there and watch that child and observe what's going on with that child if he has to stay in the hospital because he's low birth rate. We've got to change some things, African American. We have really got to change some things. When I watch a baby fight for his life that comes here addicted from cocaine, it's a terrible thing to see. And ladies, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But children can be trained, they can be taught, and mothers, if you have a disabled child, forget about going to work. If the doctor has already designated that child can receive Social Security, you stay home with that child and be the child's best advocate and learn how to interact with that child so that child can stand on its own. Don't go jumping up, taking a job, getting a check for that baby. You're never there. You're neglecting the child. You got them in daycare, and they don't know how to deal with them. You've got to be the provider. That's why they give you the check. It's the person that's taking care of that sick person. And that child cannot take care of himself. That is a developmental delay. You are delaying that child because he needs proper therapeutic care, and you need to be there to make sure he gets it. Whether you take care of that child as a mother to stay at home and you have family child care there, or you put him in a family child care setting and you interact with those teachers, because 9 times out of 10, they're overwhelmed, and they don't know what to do with that child that has many needs. You don't want your child being developmentally delayed in other areas that they can thrive in. Once they diagnose a child in some areas, there may be other areas that he's proficient in. You need to learn your child and spend time with them. Now, let me get back to the men. Men, I know that somebody did this to you. You don't have to tell me, and I'm not letting you off the hook, and I'm not, once again, loving my men and raising my daughters. I want to say to you that what's wrong with taking your money that you spend on these rims and all of these paraphernalia on your car and this weed and all the other things that you like that are so good, what's wrong with taking your money buying 2 or 3 or 4 suits, nice suits? I'm a little old-fashioned. And there's nothing I can think of that's better than seeing a man fully developed and put on a suit and all of his continents show through that suit. There's nothing that I can think of better than knowing that I'm secure when a black man walks in the room. Immediately everybody knows that people give way to that black man and give him the ability to be able to take control and take authority. Why is it that so many people are looking down on the black man when he walk in, he's got gym shoes on, he looks like a little boy, like he's never mature? Who wants a 60-year-old man that's walking around in gym shoes and a sweatsuit, and he's supposed to be dressed up, and his lady's looking good, and boy, is she fly, and everybody's looking at how classy she is. Now you're getting the Joneses. Your lips are sagging, your jaws are sagging, you're mad because everybody's looking at your classy lady, and you had good money that you could have, instead of buying that Kango hat, you could have taken the money you bought that Kango hat and that sweatsuit and bought you a decent $200 suit, and you could have looked the part. And she could be fly, and you could be flyer. There's nothing wrong with the traditional old suit. When you look at traditions, men, Caucasian men do not go away from tradition. It is seasonal. All of this thing, all these clothes that are not in season today, out of season tomorrow, you need to be careful in buying all of those fancy things that go out as fast as they come in. When you mature, you understand that and you become more conservative. So we're looking for black men to become more conservative and to buy maybe one or two suits and to put their shirt tails in, no matter how bloated they are, and to put a belt on. Because we want to see how well you wear those pants. Just like you want to see how tight and round our buttocks is, we want to also make sure you're in a nicely packaged outfit as well. So we got to talk to you about the developmental stages of a man that a baby is going through and that we see you regressing and going back on, man. We want to see you pull yourselves together. Because when you're dignified, it's very hard for somebody to seek you out and to prematurely assume that you're going nowhere and to mistreat you. When you are dressed appropriately, it's very hard for a policeman to say, ma'am, what you doing in that two-piece outfit? Where you going? You can't be going to no job. The first thing they say, ma'am, did I catch you at a bad time? Are you on your way to work? Did you know you were speeding? And I know you got to go, but we're going to give you a warning this time. Sometimes they can change their mind. But when you give them a reason to think you're not going nowhere, you just confirm what they're thinking in their own mind anyway. Help the officer out. Make yourself look more developed, like you are a man and you're going somewhere, and not that they're mistaking you for one of those boys out there. Because sometimes us women will overlook you and look the other way, like we're looking for somebody else to come, and we don't even acknowledge you and say, hey, how you doing, man? We look the other way like we're looking at a boy. You don't want the woman to look the other way. You want her to look exactly at you and see that you have some worth and some value and that you're fully developed and you're a man. Then take off those damn gym shoes and put on some Stetsons. Spend some money on your shoes, and besides that, shine them up. And make them look good, officer and a gentleman. Because I love a black man in a suit and dressed like an officer. He could get me to tell him anything if he's got on a suit of some kind. I don't care if it's a Marine suit. I don't care if it's a Navy suit. It's tucked in. It's neatly pressed. And there are no edges hanging out with that shirt tail. Some of the same concept the military is using, they've got to use it with our black men because we're losing them in the developmental stages of the cross between coming a man and a boy. Mothers, you got to help them. Don't let them leave out of that house with that shirt tail hanging. Make sure they own more than 10 belts. And schools, you got to help them. Give out belts and give incentives for wearing belts and tell them you're developing into a man. And that developmental stage is warped, and we got to get you over the grain house so that you can run something, so that people know you have enough sense to zip your pants up and wear clean underwear. And another thing, how developed can you be when you're wearing two pair of underwear and you're sweating your nose and you're walking around funky, thinking you're funky looking good? But you're not funky looking good when the women see you and they say that you probably slept and all of that stuff and you got up and you got ready and you came out and said, I'm ready. What happens to washing the body and cleaning the body? It's a developmental miss, but somebody is not being developmentally processed in the right way. You take those underwear off. You don't wear them to bed and get up and go somewhere, and you wear one pair of drawers. And didn't your mother always teach you to have on one clean pair of drawers in case there should be an accident and you should go to the hospital? No, you don't need three or four pairs of name brand underwear so somebody can look at your underwear, because I'm tired of looking at these premature men underwear. I don't want to see their funky drawers anymore. I want to see them pulled up tight enough that I can see he got something between his legs and imagine and use my imagination. I don't want to see him drooping. Do you not understand that your scrotum is not protected? You're walking around with big shorts on. Why don't you wear the briefs, something tight, to make you look very nice when you put your pants on? It's a developmental stage, man. And I'm telling you, you're pre-developmental delayed in areas that you really have been taught better about. You're just picking up these fads that you know that are short-lived, and you need to drop them because women are concerned about your developmental stages. And that's all I want to say on that topic. And you've heard from Omi today. And this is Always Sisters, Always Friends. And brothers, if you don't like what I said, why don't you call in? Let this light down, just light up and call in. Call in and tell Omi that, Omi, I've been trying, but you can do better. And we're going to help you do better because we love you so much. We're telling you this because we love you. We're telling you this because it's healthy. It's very, very healthy, and I want you to know that it's healthy. And it's important that we tell one another things so that we understand that we love one another. Now, we are winners together, men. We are winners together, and when we get with our women and our women tell us good things, we listen because we love them, and we are winners. Stay tuned for our health awareness.
Y'all ready? Say yes! Say yes! Say yes!
Keep on moving.
That's my family. We are moving on up to more conscious information, and this is our Health Awareness Hour. And Dr. Jamil, he's out on sabbatical, so I will be filling in for him until he returns. And he's entrusted me with the topic of the medical needs of the infant and toddler. What are they? And ladies and gentlemen, if you can relate back to your prenatal care before you have your infant, you go to the doctor for 9 months and you get checked up and the doctor gives you vitamin pills and you take those. Just like you were doing that for your infant before he was born, you must continue to go take that baby to the doctor for checkups. And you must make sure that you're on schedule to take the child when they are required to come to the doctor. Now, many of you women might have insurance or Medicaid, so the doctors know you do have funds to get those baby wellness checkups. So it is important, and it is a need, that your babies have wellness checkups, and you find a doctor that you can consistently stick with. Now, I know that sometimes when you go into emergency delivery, sometimes doctors other than your own doctors deliver your baby. But you must find a permanent doctor that you can stick with because health records are very, very important. And working in the medical field and working with the medical records department, they're oftentimes telling you mothers, you must keep up with your child's records and shot records. Sometimes in some facilities you could actually get a copy of your child's records and keep a set at home. Now they're putting them on disk where you can actually keep your child's records on disk. And if your children are at risk and they're born here with a deficit, you certainly want to keep up with the type of treatments and the type of medicines that your child is on. Now, if your child is going to be diagnosed for a disability, you certainly are going to have to produce those medical records, which they are going to send for in Social Security. But if you have lost your records and you have no idea what condition or primary condition the child has, then you have no way of fighting for your child's medical Social Security. Now, most doctors in the hospital, they automatically apply for your child to get disability, but it always doesn't happen. Sometimes your child can get home and you discover he has a disability that he can receive Social Security for. You certainly have to make sure you can back up those documents in that case, not only just for Social Security. You want to make sure that this wellness checkup is done in decent order and that everything is looked at, blood tests and everything is looked at, the way the child is thriving, their eyes, the way that they're not crossed, and making sure that they're cooing with healthy, cool sounds and they're not doing some growling sound like you've never heard. And if the child is failing to even thrive, he can't crawl, he can't turn over, then those things should alert you. You ask the doctor, "Doctor, why is my baby not sitting up? Why is he 6 months and his neck is not strong?" And you go and read the pediatrician and find out what ages and stages the child's neck should be strong. What stage should they be sitting up, turning over, and crawling? Now, don't expect your babies to be walking at 8 months. All babies don't start walking at 8 months. Now, if you were over in Africa and you had mothers that had babies strapped to their back, they might be crawling and defecating on their own and urinating on their own as well. Because we know that African babies, they actually thrive faster and develop faster developmentally than the Westerners' children. So we are Africans and they're African, then why don't our children do that? Because mothers have a different lifestyle. They throw their child in the daycare instead of sitting at home with their child, making their child independent. Now, I want to say this to some of you mothers. You must remember, a child can't tell you when he has an earache, or he can't tell you when he has colic. If you've been out in the air taking that baby out when he's first born and you don't put covers over his face so that he don't breathe in all that air gets caught in that baby's stomach. So now he is fussy or she's fussy and they're crying and they have colic, and you can't get the baby to stop crying. Some of your old-time mothers and sisters will tell you that baby's got colic. He's got a bubble in his stomach and he can't burp, and you need to get him some anesthesis. I want to say that again. They'll say anesthesis. Now, I'm not recommending this to anyone because I'm not a doctor, but they'll say that baby needs to get some anesthesis, and I'm quoting an old mother. Then the mother will say, well, you can't find that anywhere around here. Astaxanthin can only be brought in the south. Go down south and mention it to one of the pharmacists and talk to somebody there. They will know exactly what to give you. And the mother takes heed and go down south, and somebody says, girl, I know exactly what you want. You want some astaxanthin. Go down there to the pharmacist and tell the doctor you want to buy some astaxanthin over the counter. And you bring that back, and it becomes the sweetest thing since candy. That baby is given that astaxanthin, and he's burping and farting, and you don't hear him full of gas anymore because it's just an episode of you've exposed that baby to too much air, and they've gotten gas. Now, I'm not going to tell you all these old rituals because you could talk to your grandparents and your mother about them and they will tell you what to do. But what I'm saying as a health awareness, mother, you got to be aware of the fact that every month you take your child back for their shots. Make sure you get the shot records in order because they're going to ask you, did they have their diphtheria? Did they have their smallpox? And it's a certain time that babies are supposed to have these shots. Don't go skipping in there after the time talking about, I want my baby to have both his shots, the smallpox and diphtheria together. They'll tell you no. There's a certain time we give these shots, and you don't determine when the baby gets the shots. Now, don't get it twisted. Baby needs these shots if you believe in them. There are some mothers who do not believe in them and prefer not to have the shots. Now, there's a process for that, too. You have to know exactly who to talk to fill out paperwork so you can be exempt from getting these shots for your child. But check this out. Everywhere you go to register your child for school, they're going to ask you for some form of shots and medical records. It is your job to keep up with those records, and if you choose not to have the shots, then you need to have the appropriate records on file exempting you. Don't go in there and say, well, I decided not to let my baby have these shots, and doctor told me it was my business. Yes, it's your business, but you also needed to follow your business and follow through with the procedures so that you meet the requirement and having an exceptional document on file exempting you from the shots. Now, there are a lot of mothers out here that found out that they think these shots will cause certain problems and certain growth problems in the child. To be it as it may, and to each his own, if that is the case, then you have every right to get those exemption records so that you can exempt yourself and your baby from the shots. Now, don't neglect to look at your baby's teeth. If your baby's teeth are coming in all crooked or he keeps getting decayed teeth and they fall out, be alarmed. And immediately and make an appointment for your baby to go to the dentist so the dentist can look at those baby teeth and find out what's going on. That's right, you're going to have to get your child on Medicare and get him in there to the dentist. If his hearing is bad, you need to get him connected to a specialist, an ear, nose, and throat specialist, because children do lose hearing. Some children have more frequent ear infections. Make sure the doctor is an ear, nose, and throat specialist to diagnose what is going on with that child. And if he has asthma and should be on medication, make sure your doctor has prescribed the appropriate medication for asthma. There's a large amount of children that have allergies. Make sure you ask the doctor to refer you to an allergy specialist. Don't just start buying everything over the counter, giving your baby. And if Mud didn't tell you how to take it or give it, you tell Mud did that you still need her to direct you and let her guide you. And don't be so exempt by only wanting doctor's medicine. Talk to your mother. She helped you get here safely, and you're still living. Listen to her as well. But all this other talk outside of your mother or your grandmother, be leery of it, because they can't take the responsibility for what happens to your child. And your child is not an experimental ground, and don't take a lot of chances with your infant when they're sick. Note when they have a fever, that's inflammation. You need to take that baby to a doctor or hospital, whichever one comes first, to find out where that fever is coming from, where is the inflammation coming from, and how does the doctor make recommendation for that child to bring the fever down. You don't want that child to be having fever for 2 and 3 days because long fevers for long periods of time can cause brain damaging. So, mothers, you got to be conscious of the Trisha's book. You got to read up on diseases. You got to learn something about diseases and the contraindications and the type of naturopathic medicines that are available that's safe to give your baby. Don't go giving your baby no catnap tea because you see somebody taking catnap tea. Infants are different. Sometimes they cannot take the same non-drug therapy that grown-ups take. Know what you're doing. Don't take no chances with your infants nor toddlers, because they sometimes have a reaction to these so-called naturopathic drugs. You have to know what you're doing. Now, on that note, these are healthcare needs that we must also remember, that emotional needs are just as important. And we've talked about the emotional needs for that child to be touched, to be stroked, and have lap time. Put the child into your lap and allow that child to sit comfortably there and just watch you. And if he don't want to do anything but kiss you and watch you, let him have that time on a day-to-day basis. It gives him confidence. It makes him feel reassured. It also allows you to make natural gestures to observe the eyes, if they're placed properly, if they're crossed, is the ears functioning, and can you whisper in the child's ear, does he respond, how quick to responding is this child, is he slow to respond? You begin to pick up little idiosyncrasies about your own child, and you begin to assess that child for things that are normal or abnormal. It's very important that you identify emotional needs. If the child has emotional need to be sucking on something and you're trying to wing him off the bottle, you must understand that it's a process. You might have to look at that child and give him a pacifier until he finds something else to fixate his mind on. A child needs to know that he is secure if you leave him. If you don't do anything else, I want you to consider, while in the hospital, to take it upon yourself to take your great colostrum in your breast, which is full, mother, and it will fill up just because the baby emotional need is there and the baby is telling you it needs milk. Your breast will automatically fill up so that you can feed that child. Why not take the time to learn to breastfeed? It's a process, and that milk can go to good. The colostrum will help build the child's natural health stem and their T cells so that they don't get sick as much as other children. They pick up your colostrum that has healing in it that will help heal them. And mothers, don't shy away and say it hurts and I can't breastfeed. Keep trying and let the doctors and specialists help you to learn to breastfeed. It's the best thing in the world, and it can save your baby's life and make them healthier. If you don't know anything about it, take a class, a seminar. In the hospital, they oftentimes ask you, do you want to learn to breastfeed? And there is a process of storing of the milk. And there are mothers now that are actually giving their milk away and donating it because it's so healthy. It's far better than the formulas, mother. Don't get it twisted. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy to mix up this formula. It is not a natural colostrum. Your breast milk is natural colostrum. It is indicative to the things that the baby needs in his body. And the bodies will begin to grow so wholesome and healthy, and they'll rarely get colds. They'll pick up all your immunities because you've had immunities for years, so your child will pick them up. So what is health awareness for that mental problem? A child doesn't seem to be mentally aware, or he's stagnant in his growth and he's slow to respond. Children have mental illness too, and you should be able to pick up on their mental illness and go and see somebody about abnormalities in that child's mental ability and get help for that child. And mother, if you have become blue and you're sad and you begin to have depression after you have your babies, don't shrug it off. Go and talk to somebody, your minister or your counselor or spiritual counselor, and say, I'm feeling blue. I'm not feeling at myself. I need someone to help me. I'm feeling like I'm coming apart at the ends, and I need guidance. And there will be help for you, but do not suppress it or hide it. You must stay healthy, mother, in order to keep your infants and toddlers healthy, because they rely on you. It's an emotional attachment that they're going to keep hanging on you even though you're tired. So, mothers, you must take vitamins like your doctor tell you, your prenatal vitamin that they'll tell you to keep taking. And you must eat the appropriate foods and get rest so that you can be there emotionally for your children, because they are still emotionally attached to you, believe it or not. Not the dad, but to you. And if you're breastfeeding, it will be even more attachment. And sometimes the dad will want to be attached to you too, and he'll want you to take the baby off the breast so he could get on there and he could be cuddled as well. So you're going to have to make a decision between cuddling the baby or cuddling your husband, and there's appropriate time for both. And I know you can do this, and this has been Health Awareness coming from Omi Inca 7, live coming to you straight from my studio. And I hope to see you breastfeeding and working to develop your children so that they're not a crutch for you or yourself, and you help develop your man into full manhood at the same time. I know you can do it. And much love to my black listening audience, my white listening audience, Caucasian, as well as Hispanic. We love you all, and we all have a purpose in this world. And we know we're going to get to the end of this thing together. And if I win, you win. But we must learn the appropriate way. I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. I've stayed over my time. I need to say goodbye, and we're going to get out of here and call that bus. Come on down here. I got to go. Come on down here. Ladies and gentlemen, I will see you on Monday. I think I'm off on Friday. I think I'm off on Friday if I want to start for you. First, I got to do this disappearing act. Where you at, Cal? Cal? I got to do my disappearing act. Cal, first all right. I see you. Oh, I say, oh, Donald. Yeah.
About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free.
Baby, I'm your destination.
Bye.
fantastic to work with. And this is like a Friday for me, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't get a chance to dance too much with anybody, but we're going to play those drums as we exit out of here. And we want you to know that it's the drums that are going to heal you. Be healed. I say go and get your jamming drums. Goodbye.